All right, good morning, everyone. This morning, I want to share with you, continuing on what the Lord has been speaking to us through the songs and through this morning prayer. We're going to talk about process. I want to share about process, and this is the things that I'm about to share is, you can say it's things that I'm going through right now, things that I'm experiencing, and things that you know that the Lord is doing in my own life, and it's a process that God is taking. I believe not just me, but is taking all of us, the body of Christ. And when we talk about process, it talks about preparation. The process, we always say we got to prepare ourselves, and we always prepare ourselves for something, right? You don't prepare for nothing. You prepared for an event, okay? So if you have, if you're going to have, you're going to invite people for dinner, you're going to prepare. But what are you going to prepare? You're going to prepare food. But the food is for the dinner, all right? So you don't prepare for nothing. You prepare for something. So we're preparing for our destiny, all right? God, our destiny is in the hands of God. But the steps of preparation, that's what we call process. So God is preparing, God is shaping. And these steps that God is going to, in the way that God is going to prepare us, it's through this word that we're going to talk about this morning, is the process. But the process is to prepare us for something. And that for something is the destiny that God has for us. Now, as the church of the living God, and we know Jesus is building this church, we believe in the prophetic word. And hence the reason why we declare prophetic words in prayer, in every times of worship. I mean, we declare and we speak what God is saying prophetically to this church and prophetically to the body of Christ. And one of the prophetic words that we heard from Dr. Bill Hammond is that God is raising up warriors, and that these warriors will have the shout of faith and the weapons to push back and to dismantle the works of the enemy like an atomic bomb in the spirit, when we have the shout of faith and the weapons that God has given us through the word and by the spirit. Now, this is the prophetic word. The prophetic word gives us where we're going or what God is leading us towards. But the question, what I want to share this morning is, having the prophetic word, we got to get there, right? It doesn't just happen. And so God has to take us through a process. All right, everyone say process. God is going to prepare us, because Jesus said he's coming back and his church is prepared and adorned. She has adorned herself for her husband. Okay? And so Jesus is coming back for a church that is prepared, that is ready for Jesus. Okay? So you and I need to be ready, but God is going to work in our lives, dealings of God, and process of God. Processes that God has put in our lives to deal with us. Now, I just want to read one of the word that was given to us by Pastor Joseph. And this was given to us a few weeks back. This is what it says. It says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Anything born of God will be tested. Our life, which is born of God, will be tested. We may not see the higher hand that's leading us. Just follow the Holy Spirit in your life, and you will fulfill the destiny God has called you. All right? So anything that is born of God will be tested. All right? Because God is coming back for a church that is ready. Now, as an introduction, I just want to use a few from the Bible first, and then we'll talk a little bit more. But just a few people, and I just want to show the how God did things even in the Old Testament, because a lot of times in the Old Testament we see great men of God. We talk about Abraham, we talk about Joseph, we talk about Moses, and we talk about all these great men of God, and we think, how is it that they are accomplishing so great exploits for the Lord? And to us sometimes we think that they were born ready. But the truth is that they also God had to work in their lives, and God had to deal, and they had to go through the dealings of God in their own lives to get them ready so that God can effectively use them. Effectively use them. I just want to use Abraham as an example, first of all. You know, Abraham, the Lord came to him in a vision and said that you shall bear a son from your own flesh, and in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So this is a promise of God given to him. And about the age of 86 years of age, you know, because he didn't get the son, he said, so his wife gave him to the maidservant and then got Ishmael. He was 86 years of age at that time. But in Genesis 21, the promise was fulfilled when Abraham was 100 years old. Okay? When he was 100 years old, he got the son. But I just want you to see that between the age at least of 86 to about 100 was the promise fulfilled. And the next person I'd like to look through is Joseph. Joseph, when we were first introduced to him, we were told that he was 17 years of age, young boy. And he had this dream, all right, this dream of the sun, moon, and stars, and bowing down before him. And so his brothers and his dad all thought that he was, you know, full of himself, and, you know. But he had this dream from God, that God has given him a dream. Okay, but it wasn't until he went through a lot of process and a lot of dealings and a lot of difficulties of life that he had to pass through. Until the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 41, verse 46, that Joseph was 30 years of age when he stood before Pharaoh. Okay, so 17 and 30 years of age when he stood before Pharaoh. And when he stood before Pharaoh, he interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh made him second, or, after Pharaoh. So he was like Pharaoh himself, but he was second to him. Okay? Now, the third person I'd like to use as an introduction as well is Moses. Moses lived 120 years old. Okay, we know that the first 40 years of his life, as we read in Acts chapter 7, that the first 40 years of his life, he was in Egypt, being trained in Egypt, learning all the skills and all the literature and all kind of things, leadership and all these kind of aspects that he got from the world. He learned the arts and everything that's in the world for the first 40 years of his life. All right, so his life can be divided into three sections, 40, 40, and 40, which is 40 times 3 is 120. Because we know that the last 40 years of his life before the children of Israel entered, because he didn't enter, but he died. But he spent 40 years in the wilderness. So if you do the math, 40, and then 40 in between, and then 40 at the end. So the first 40 years was learning the skills in Egypt. But then after he committed the crime, and when he saw his brethren being tormented, or being, he stood for his brethren or his brother and killed, and he ran away. And when he ran away, he went to a land called Midian. And there he had a life and got married and things like that. But it was also in that place that he encountered the Lord in a bush of fire, flame of fire, the bush that was burning, the burning bush. It was a place where he encountered the Lord. But what I want you to see with Moses is that, you know, he did learn the skills of the world. But I believe that there's a lot of things that he had to unlearn from Egypt as well. Okay? But not just that, but for 40 years, God would shape him, and he became, you know, he'd look after cattle and sheep and things like that. So God was doing in his life and working in his life for 40 years. For 40 years. And for what? So that he would call him and say, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. So there was a purpose that Moses was being prepared for. And there was always, people of God were always prepared for such a time, for a time that God has appointed to do great things. And I believe that God is raising up the church to be an army of God, raising up the church to be a strong church that will bring about change in our city, change in our nation, and change in our families, and change in the way the world is running, and bring that forward. But God has to prepare his people. God has to prepare arrows that he can send forth. But without preparation, you know, we will find that without preparation, if we don't, we say, if we don't plan, we plan to fail. Right? So we got to prepare well. And this preparation is necessary for all of us. It is necessary. It is not just for pastors, it is not just for leaders, but everyone must be tried, must be prepared, and must be tested, because God, you know, the Bible says that we're building, we're the building of God, and God is placing stones. He's building us up as his temple, spiritually. But the stones must be in place, must be the right size, must be in the right spot. It must have the pillar. So God is preparing us. And it's very important that we see that. So the preparation, it is essential that God prepares us for the assignment that is ahead. Okay? Preparation. One of the things that I've been going through a lot, I've been doing through just normal stuff every day. I don't know if you call this everyday life, but you know, with the things that I've been doing lately, you know, I've been, you know, doing some painting, I've been doing some, you know, paving and all these kind of things. And one of the things that, you know, when I was in the process of building a house, I was speaking to the supervisor and I said, you know, the walls, can you make sure there's no, because, you know, in your walls, they're not perfect. You have little tiny holes sometimes and there's little imperfections. And so, you know, I was asking the supervisor, well, is it possible to make sure that there's nothing imperfection in the walls, just make it as good as you can? Well, he said to me, you know, if we were painting your house, it's a different story. But, you know, but we expect that when whoever's going to paint the house or paint the walls, that they're going to do preparation work. That preparation work involves, you know, patching the walls where there's holes and imperfections, patching that. And then the next step will be sanding the walls, making sure it's nice and smooth. And the third step will be cleaning the walls, you know. And so you don't just go, okay, I'm going to paint a wall, and I'm just going to go there and just take some paint and a brush and just paint. You don't do that. That's what I probably thought when I had to first do it. But it comes with preparation. You've got to prepare the walls to be painted. Because if you don't do those preparations, then you see a lot of little, because you see the holes on a white wall, you don't really see them until you paint them. And, you know, and if you don't clean and wash them, then the results are not as good, then your paint might be coming off. You don't put sealing, you know, before painting, then your paint will not grip onto the wall as it should be, and you'll find that you'll be painting a lot more in the future, which you probably don't want to do. I wouldn't want to. And it's the same thing for, I'll give another quick example of paving, for example. You know, paving, you want, you know, you don't just go buy some pavers and then just lay it down there and hope that it was going to look good, straight, and you're going to be strong. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to make sure that, first of all, your ground is level. All right? Once it's level, you're going to make sure that, you know, it's as straight as possible. You know, you're going to, if you really, depending how really good you want to make it, but you, then you gotta level it, put some sand and make sure it's nice and level. And once you've got all of that done and ready and good, and you've got all the equipment, then you start laying the pavers. All right, but without that sand, without that leveling, without providing that foundation to make it straight and strong, you put your pavers and they will just fall apart after a while. Or you know, as you walk on it, it'll be wobbly and it'll look horrible, right? But what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, this is the house of God. Like evangel, okay? I'm talking about evangel now. I'm talking, this is the house of God, the gateway to heaven. Now, if the house of God is being built by God, you know, there's got to be a level of preparation that God is going to prepare the walls before he paints it. God is going to prepare the ground and make sure that it's ready before you can lay down the pavers, putting the stones where it should be. Selecting the stones and putting where it should be. So God is going to prepare that. And he's going to prepare the ground. All right? He's going to prepare the ground. So that's the reason why preparation is essential. Preparation is essential. Preparation is very important for us. So God is preparing us. So what I want to share with you is, as we have this mindset or this understanding that God, it is essential for us to be prepared. Okay, because, and I want to emphasize this, because the church has a destiny. And that destiny is that God is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against anything that God is doing and God is building. And God is preparing a church that will welcome his coming, so that every kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. And the Lord will come again, and return and enter into his millennium kingdom and eventually the everlasting kingdom. So we have a destiny, but you and I must be prepared. We must be fit. If we want to be soldiers for God, then we've got to be trained. Right? Soldiers must be trained. If you're a sports player, you must be trained. You look at me
because I was a tennis player.
You don't expect Federer to just go and rock up to a tennis match and just win. There's a lot of training behind it. There's a lot of training. There's, you know, as beginning from what you eat, sleep, you know, your routine, your daily routine, as fitness training, tennis training. There's even mental training. You've got to be mentally trained. Sports, you know, and things like that. So there's a lot of preparation that goes before. And for each season, the training is different. You know, you train before a competition. You don't do heavy training. You know, I mean, anyway, so, but you got to know there's preparations, there's different times, and there's different kinds of preparation that you got to do for what you're going to do. So if we know what the assignment is for this church, then we know what kind of meal we need. We know what kind of preparation. We know what kind of training we need. All right? So that's the reason why it's very important for us. So God is going to deal with God. The word process is what I want to emphasize. Number one, I want to share with you this morning, and as continuing on the same thought, is that God gives us his prophetic word. God gives us his prophetic word. And the prophetic word gives us a sense of destiny, right? We've already been sharing that. I'm just putting it in point form here. The prophetic word gives us the promises of God. It shows us the end product. It shows us, it even confirms the word of God that God has already placed in our hearts and confirms that. And so it gives us a great sense of what God is going to do. And sometimes the scriptures are opened up and we realize that, wow, this is what God is doing and what God is going to accomplish. And the word becomes so open. So the prophetic word comes and gives us a sense of destiny. But the sense of destiny must take us, we must get there. We must get there. So that's the reason why I started out saying, you know, the prophetic word was warriors. But you and I must be trained to be warriors. Is that right? We don't expect to be warriors for God and are not trained. The process that we need to go through. Abraham, when he went to save his Lot, he said that he had, from his own household, trained people whom he can command, right? So it is very important that you know, God is able to do that in our lives. So the prophetic word will come and do that, shows us the future, and gives us assurance. But number two is that the now word comes to change us for destiny. All right? The now word, the preceding word, what God is speaking right now unto us. You know, everything that God is, even the prophetic word, everything that God is speaking to us is to change us so that we'll be ready for what God is building and from what God is doing. You know, and the now word, when it comes, it will come and deal with us, because the word of God is sharper than any it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And when the word of God comes unto us and speaks to us, and you find that, you know, we've been doing things in a certain way, or maybe we've been doing it inaccurately, or we've been doing it very poorly, and things like that, you will find that when the word comes, it will come and hit you, right? And you know, when the two-edged sword comes, it's quite sharp, right? But when we receive that, we got to be humble and be good, you know, be humble in God's sight to receive that, because we are changing from glory to glory. We are changing because God wants and demands that we are changing more and more like Him. This because He is the express image of God, all right? And we are to change more and more like Him. You know, talk about this, you know, Abraham finding people who he in his own family he could command. You know, I've I've been doing a lot of work with my dad, right? And my dad gives sharp instruction, and you got to be well organized, you got to, basically, you don't go out and work if you don't have the tools. Don't waste your time. You don't start working and then you go back in there and you come back and forth and you're wasting time. When you work, he means business. All right, and when he gives instructions, he means business too. And for me, I've not been so good at this, but what I see is that it becomes important that we understand this, not just naturally receiving instructions, but you can imagine in the context of the church, in the context of the spiritual things. When God gives instruction, and if you miss it, let's not talk about the train, let's talk about your plane, your flight, for example. If you miss it, you miss it, right? You can't just make the aeroplane turn back just for you unless you're the prime minister. But then again, the plane wouldn't have left in the first place. But you understand, because when instructions are given, and if we delay it, and you don't do it right away, you miss it. And when you miss it, we don't realize what are the intentions behind everything that's being done. We don't know the great impact that it can have. So we understand sometimes, and sometimes we can argue, but it's just a small thing, we can always get around it. But if you're affecting nations, or if you're affecting people in a big quantity, you will find that a small decision will have a great impact, or what we would think is small, in a greater context, greater context, will have major consequences. I mean, you could be driving. If you mess up while you're driving on the road, you can mess up, and let's say people get injured, and perhaps even die. I'm not saying this is good, but at least you have four, five, six, seven, eight people, let's say two cars, would be affected, right? But if you make the same mistake while flying an aeroplane, you're killing or affecting or injuring potentially hundreds and hundreds of people, all right? So the small decisions, the small things like this is important. And so in the spirit world, when we receive instructions as well, these instructions is very important for us to capture this, receive it, and act immediately, right? So God is going to prepare us so that we are able to be like the household of Abraham, where they are able to receive instructions and do it right away. God is changing us, and we must change from milk to meat. Everybody say, we must change from milk to meat. Because the very thing that will change us is the Word of God. Because Jesus says, I am the Word. I'm the Word of life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that word, when you read further down in the book of John, it says that he has declared him. Some versions say he has explained him. Or rehearse, or even says unfolds God. So the word unfolds, reveals, explains, declares who God is. And so the word, and Jesus says, in the book of Hebrews, he is the express image of God. So the Word is the image of God, the express image. And we are changing from glory to glory to be more like Him. So if anything is going to change us, it is the very Word of God. But oftentimes we stay with milk Because milk is for babies. We're born again and we need the pure milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And it's essential that we have milk because a baby cannot eat steak, right? It's normal, it's true. So we need the milk, but from there we got to change. We're going to increase because God is increasing the word content in this church and in the body of Christ. Amen. And so the word and the revelations and the insights and all these things is not just so that we can boast about how theologically well we can be, although theology is very important, but it is for us to receive the word so that the word content, so that we can act and do what God is wanting to do. It's for us to be able to move with God. Is that right? So the word content is what's going to change us. And we must change from milk, to meat. And I was thinking to myself, you know, and you know, because sometimes we think, why should we have to change? You know, sometimes we think the greater destinies are for certain peoples, and this is a mindset that I had to get around with, you know. Because I came from a Catholic background. I came from a Catholic background, and everything that happens is in the leadership or in the priesthood, the fathers, that they're the ones. You're nobody. You almost consider them as sinless, perfect, everything, and you are just worthless that needs God's forgiveness, but they are just serving God. So we have sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes, a lot of times, we have that kind of mentality. Oh, it's just for, you know, it's just for the leaders, it's not for me, but it is for everyone. It is for everyone to change because everyone must enter into what God has to do, right? It's not just for certain people. So the word of God is going to change us. And a lot of times, you know, I was just doing some, you know, work and, you know, and I was thinking while I was doing some work in my house because it's not the biggest property you can think of, but for me, it's quite big, okay? It's quite big. And I was thinking to myself, you know, if my house, or if this piece of land was smaller, if it was smaller, I would have finished a long time ago, and I wouldn't have to put so much effort. But then the thought came to my mind, and this thought came to me and said, you know, the greater the process, or the greater, or the bigger, the harder it is, or the more difficult it is in terms of preparing and the process, the greater the assignment. All right, because if it's something that's really worth, you know, doing, you know, it is worth preparing for. And, you know, and I thought, you know, anyway, this house is not just, you know, it's not just a house, because I believe that, you know, what I have and what God, I'm only a steward, right? So I want my own house to be used for the purpose of God. I want people to be blessed. You know, I want to be able to use it, not just for my own personal use, but be able to use it for the things of God. And so that began to change and open my mind and say, oh yeah, you know, it's beyond me, right? So, you know, and I believe that God really has a big assignment for the church. And this big assignment, you know, we can't be slipshod and just, you know, and hope that, you know, it's just going to work out. And sometimes we think that God is just going to do everything, even though the church is not ready. God is just going to do mighty works and everything is on God. But we do not realize that God has given us the authority to go on his behalf and act, because that's what church is. Church is to hear from God, coming together, called out from your house to hear from God and act on God's behalf in the community or in the city. All right, so that's what we fail to see. So what I'm trying to say this morning is that God is going to deal with our lives. God has to prepare. And the process is not comfortable. The process is not easy. It's not something that, you know, you just wake up and suddenly you've become. All right? No one is born ready. All right? But God is going to do this in our own lives. And God has to prepare. We must embrace that. We must embrace that. And as we've only heard this morning is, everything big starts with a small. We have the prophetic word for this church that the stream of water will become a mighty river. Amen. So whatever God has given us, and sometimes it is small, but we do not realize, like I've already said, that the small things in a greater impact, in a greater context, has greater, much more consequences and impact. And so I believe that God is putting us into a place where we need to be open, where we need to embrace the dealings of God. And one of the things that I want to conclude with here is Jacob. Jacob had to deal with. There's no one that God would just suddenly choose and out of nowhere beginning to do great exploits. Who did I mention? Jacob. But the good thing about Jacob is that he persevered through the difficult times, and he wrestled with the angel of God, Jesus appearing, called this a Christophany, but he wrestled until the new day dawns. So that means that even though with all the things that God is dealing with in our lives, we need to just press in and go forward and keep going and keep going for it. Like Jacob, and he says, I will not let go until you bless me. So this is the mentality that we need. We will not stop until God has molded me, has shaped me, has done these things in my life. Daniel did great exploits for God. But even he was not exempted from anything since we're studying the book of Daniel. You know, right at a young age, he made a decision for God. And what did the Bible say is that the Bible said that he blessed them with knowledge, wisdom, skills in all literature, and the gift to interpret dreams. Four things, right? And the Bible says that he poured out upon him the knowledge, right? But this knowledge is more than just knowledge, like world knowledge, because further in the book of Daniel it says, he who knows their God shall do great exploits. So he had the knowledge of God. He knew God. He knew why they were there for 70 reasons. He said, I read from the book of Jeremiah. The prophets spoke of this. The Bible, the scriptures speak of this. That we need to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. And then he knew all of that, and he had so great faith. He knew what to eat, what not to eat, what to drink, and what not to drink, things offered to idols. He knew that. Why? Because he knew his God. And because he knew his God, he was able to do great exploits. And hence the reason why I conclude this morning that we're changing from glory to glory for the destiny that God has for us. But the word content is going to change us. The word is Jesus, and knowing the word will allow us to be conformed to who he is. So when the word comes, we don't let it pass by, but we receive it and embrace it and act upon it immediately. All right, and hence the reason why, when he was faced with the lion's den, he was able to stand strong. And God, and he trusted God and had faith in God, and throughout all his life, for 80 years, at least 80 years, I don't know how what age he died, but for at least 70 years he ministered, he lived, and he served four kings, at least under four reign of kings that we know of in the Bible. And why is that? God prepared him, but what did he have? He knew his God. So this morning we got to know God, amen. Amen. We've got to know the word. So because the word content is going to change us, and the word content is increasing in this house, we've got to go after it. Amen. We've got to know the word. We've got to know the word. We've got to know who Jesus is. We've got to open our Bibles and receive the word of God and open up to us. Because God is going to deal with us. When we open the Bible and the Bible is beginning to speak to us, it's speaking about change, process, change. Be conformed more and more into my likeness. Amen. So I just want to pray this morning. I want to pray that we need to be able to embrace it because God, I believe that God is revealing himself as the commander. He needs to be able to find those who have been changed. He needs to be able to find the arrows in his hands that he can put in his quiver, the arrows that he can shoot, that they can be ready so that, like Abraham commanded his household, so that God may be able to command us. So that we'll be right on time, right on assignment, and right exactly doing what God and where God wants us to be. So right now I declare and I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that you're taking us through a process. You're taking each individual here and you're taking the body of Christ through a process to be changed and to be transformed into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your grace right now. We thank you, Lord. We receive grace to be humble and to embrace and to act immediately upon the word, because the word is changing us. The word is our Lord Jesus Christ. The word is the model. The word is the pattern. The word is our destiny. The word reveals who God is. So right now I pray, cause such a deep hunger and thirst in our lives to hunger after Jesus, to hunger after the word in the mighty name of Jesus, because there is a great assignment that lies ahead, and we, your people, shall arise and we shall build in the mighty name of Jesus. We shall not just sit and do nothing, but we shall take our weapons and rise. We shall take all of our building equipments and begin to rise. We're going to build. And we're going to stand, we're going to have, you know, a hammer on one hand, and we're going to have a sword on the other. We're going to be ready to build, we're going to be ready to fight. We're going to be ready to execute. We're going to be able, we're going to be ready, because God is preparing His church. He is building you and I in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive the grace in Jesus' name right now to go through the process. Do not despise process. Do not despise process. It is necessary. It is required. It is required that we might be changed. God is dealing with our issues of our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Mighty name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, is there anyone here that maybe have doubts? Doubts or unbelief in our minds, because sometimes we've had so many promises of God, and we find it difficult. It's like, I have it, yet it's so far away. You know, if anyone has, you know, doubts or anything like that, or unbelief, and finding it hard to understand, to go for the what God is doing, not only with the church and what God is saying, you know, if that's you, just raise your hands. But I'll also pray this. Yes, all right. Just raise your hand. Just maybe stand to your feet and just rise and lift up your hands and we'll just pray in the mighty name of Jesus right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Every unbelief and every doubt must go right now in Jesus' name. Every lies of the enemy, or everything that the enemy has tried to confuse right now, we command you to go in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak the clarity of the word. We speak clear direction. We speak right now in the mighty name of Jesus, clear direction in Jesus' name. Let there be peace right now in Jesus' name. Let there be peace right now in Jesus' name. Let there be rest right now in Jesus' name. Right now, I thank you, Lord. Let there be faith in Jesus' name. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom and power. Our God, He's an awesome God in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the confidence that we have in our God rise right now in Jesus' name. Let the dimensions of the Holy Spirit rise in the name of Jesus. Rise in the name of Jesus, so that there be no doubts, but there will be full of faith in Jesus' name. Full of faith right now in Jesus' name to move forward in Jesus' name right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.